This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
We're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in the Freedom's Phoenix Studios in Phoenix, Arizona. It's beautiful and hot. Oh, yeah, we got to add that hot thing. Here in Freedom's Phoenix, we have the studios going. We're rocking and rolling on our second day, and we're having fun, and we're getting to know each other some more. We're sharing, and we're going to be having the archives up and get this stuff done. But let me tell you. You know, I want to get this one clip in here, what this is all about, where we are going with this. This is where we're going.
Haddad, H-A-D-D-A-D, Junior.
His father's a Shiite. We're checking him out.
His father is a federal agent. His father happens to be my partner.
Don't get in my face, Hubbard. I just might decide you're an Ethiopian.
You know, you are stupid enough to think that that's an insult.
Mistake's been made, we'll fix it.
If a mistake's been made, there's no mistake. I'm vouching for the kid. I want him out.
Let's get your priorities straight, Hubbard. I said we'll look into it.
Yeah, you'll look into it. Just like you've been looking into me, right? Surveilling me? You think I'm stupid? You think I don't know what's going on? I'm doing your job for you, and I damn near get my head blown off for it. Now, I want Frank Jr. out, and I want to see my prisoner, Tariq Husseini.
Let's go see your prisoner. How long have you been at it?
Not long enough, apparently.
How much longer do you think before he gives up the other cells?
He can't give up the other cells if he doesn't know where they are.
He knows.
No, he doesn't. You said it yourself, Sharon, didn't you? In the strategy meeting, the briefing, the one cell doesn't know where the other one is, right?
How long before he breaks, Sharon?
Well, at this rate, too long. The theater was hit 9 hours after we took down the first cell.
So, what other models do we have? Shaken?
What about it, Sharon?
Won't work.
Works for the Israelis.
Only in conjunction with sleep deprivation. It takes at least 36 hours.
We don't have 36 hours. Electric shock?
The neurotransmitters just shut down.
Water?
Palestinian authorities producing good intel with water.
Of course, there's cutting.
It's extremely messy.
Are you people insane? What are you talking about?
The time has come for one man to suffer in order to save hundreds of lives.
One man? What about two? What about six? How about public executions, huh?
Feel free to leave whenever you like, Agent Hubbard.
Come on, General. You lost, man. I've lost, man. But you can't do this. What if what they really want... What if they don't even want the Sheikh? Have you considered that? Huh? What if what they really want is for us to herd children in the stadiums like we're doing? And put soldiers on the street and have Americans looking over their shoulders? Bend the law. Shred the Constitution just a little bit. Because if we torture him, General, we do that and everything that we have bled... and fought and died for is over. And they've won. They've already won.
Escort him out.
Nothing.
freedomsphoenix.com. Declare your independence. We'll be right back.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
There's probably more freedom, as a matter of fact. You know, that's, and you have to understand, this is always, we have that cut because this is what it always comes down to. We have these discussions and this is what happens. Yeah, but what about the roads? And I'm seriously, we'd be the Jetsons right now flying out around in our, little anti-grav space cards if it wasn't for government in the way. Seriously, I'm coming down from Las Vegas Sunday afternoon. This is what's happening. Construction everywhere. The Canamex highway system is going from Mexico to Canada. Is going up through Wickenburg here in western Arizona up to Vegas and on up. That's what that bridge across Colorado by Hoover Dam is. And they're just getting the arch almost done from side to side of the canyon there. It's quite striking. It's taking a while, though. What happens is that you look at all this construction and everything, and any of you that are living in a large city, you'll see they'll build a highway. And that's so they can, sell the cheap land that the government has restrictions on who can actually buy it. And you got to buy it in, like $100 million lots for some developer. And then he's, oh, by the way, I got all these people out here. You got to pay to build me a highway to it. Really? Seriously? What happens if we didn't have that? Think about it. The highway system was done by Eisenhower's Department of Defense thing. The federal government didn't have any jurisdiction to go building roads all over the place. Highway system, they had to make it under the Department of Defense as a national defense issue. What they did is they took and had a convoys going from east to west coast and documenting the newsreels of how bad it was and how much mud they had to get through and the armies couldn't get there and, go what? Occupy or save or dominate or what was the reasoning? Because Eisenhower had invaded Europe and he loved the Autobahn. Nazis had great highways. They're going, woohoo, we need this Autobahn thing. Having a highway system, it made it much easier for armies to move around. And I'm thinking, probably the colonists, when they were revolting against the British crown, they probably thought that was probably a good thing. We're out here, we're all good. So now, then you're looking at, started to have dirigibles are starting to come back into vogue. You had the Hindenburg and all that kind of stuff was going. There was a lot of propaganda on, that, good, bad. What happened? You got Detroit, and now, GM, now Government Motors. I mean, who saw that coming? Oh, we'll get into that someday, too. But, the thing is you have this auto industry that's all around us being autonomous, but you got to be two-dimensional. You got to be on concrete. Whatever side effects of that are, but the main thing is that they predetermined how our children are going to live. And I remember in the mid-90s, we had an argument on the budget. It's a long story here in Arizona, them unconstitutionally foreign in the budget and that kind of stuff. And we're in the paper and going back and forth. And Fife Symington was our governor then, and his office, the debate that I had with his finance guys, they go, there's good debt. There's some good debt. We need to have a pray tell. Tell me all about your good debt. I want to know all about your good debt. Tell me, give me your best shot, man. And I'll tell you, before I even tell you that, whenever you're dealing with anybody in the government and they'll start coming up with all these rationalizations, you know what has really been a benefit to me is I go, I'm libertarian. Oh, you're not going to buy it, huh? Okay. And then the conversation over, we can talk about, things that we can agree on, or at least we're not lying to each other. That one scene in The Princess Bride, I like where, lies do not become us. I'm going, don't sit there and, just lie to me. I mean, anything. You're a bad guy, scumbag, whatever, that's fine. But don't just sit there and just lie to me. And me just sit here and take it like, it's insulting. And this is his argument for good debt. When you build roads or any kind of infrastructure like that, in the future, the children, maybe not even born now, they're going to have use of those roads. Why would we build them roads and not make them continue to pay for it? Why would we not indebt ourselves so that they're going to make use of it? So they should have to be, to extend that debt out so they can pay for it. And I'm going, but you're enslaving them to the road. Why would you especially with technologies now and so on, you know, have a government, a central plan for them. You know, guess what? 30 years from now, even if you are not going to be driving on the roads, you got your little hover flying watch it car, you know, you're going to be paying for them anyway. And you don't even give them the option. So I'm sitting here, all these, you know, remote communities, we would have air dirigibles, you know, shipping freight all over the place. We'd be flying around, having a good old time. Yeehaw. You know, they have now a new sporting class of aircraft called a sport class. And what it is, it's like a fast ultralight. And you can get a license. It takes about $3,000 and, you know, a couple of weeks of training. And you can take a passenger. Because I've flown ultralights. You know, my father used to be a pilot, and I flew ultralights, and we'll get in that, you know, sometime. But, you know, they're very easy. I mean, they're not going to take a storm on, but, you know, they're easy to fly. So they have this new classification of sport plane that where they call them recreational flying or something. You're not supposed to go more than 100 miles away from an airport or something like that. What fun is that? I mean, I want to travel. It'll go 120 miles an hour, you know, two people, and it's amphibious. Now, we'll put that, when we put the archive up for the show, I'll get a link to that so you can see what it looks like. It's a beautiful plane, and it's very simple. These are the kind of things that will be, what if you have out in the Lone Prairie with a nice little lake there, a little pond, that's your airstrip. Boom, I live here, I commute. Are you allowed? What's the rules and regulations for that? You know, you strap on a couple of, you know, Burt Rutan rocket fuel thing, and you fold the wings in a little bit, and boom, in 2 hours you go from L.A. to New York. Are you allowed? Why not? You know, this is the kind of things that would happen if you didn't predetermine where enormous amounts of resources went in to make some contractor money so he can build a road over and over and over. Quit thinking collectively. I know Eisenhower thought he was doing us a favor, going to protect us against the whatever, and we get this you know, freeway system and so on. But I, you know, really, you know, here through Arizona, you have Route 66 that people really make a big deal out of going through. We traveled a lot, you know, and you had small communities. When I was a young child in the early 70s or in late 60s, when we would travel on vacation, we'd go across the country, and from Florida, where we used to live, to my mother's side of the family here in Phoenix, Arizona. And it was a 2-week vacation. We'd drive, and we knew that, oh, we want to stop by the, you know, the old Mother Hubbard's cupboard's shoe root beer stand. I mean, you know, we wanted to go to, oh, let's stay in the teepees. Let's go. All this stuff, it's what? It's Howard Johnson's Holiday Inn and McDonald's across the entire freaking country at your, you know, suggested pull-off station. And then what do? Now that they got you all, and there's no other alternative transportation, certainly out in the Southwest here where it's vast areas, you know, what do? They put a checkpoint on them. You know, none shall pass. None shall pass. You know, we need to make sure that, you know, hopefully when this gets done, you know, some people will want more than a flesh wound, but, you know, I just assume not. You know, do we have to get in the battle over this stuff? Is it necessary? Can we just, you know, allow the future to unfold as the market would determine, as we decide? Because when we start having these conversations and we start taking calls and you start asking me questions about this, you know, yeah, but we need. Who's we? You know, we who? Am I allowed not to be in your we? Can I vote? I gotta say, okay, I'm in your we. We, who's we? I'm in your we. Is there a gun at my head? I'm in your we. Can we not be we? Can I be me? Am I allowed? Is that an option? Until you start thinking that way, until you start putting that out as the mindset that you have, you're always going to be enslaved with whatever the new ruler du jour is going to be. That's just the way it is. So, what we are doing as activists, and I'll tell you who we are. We're just a bunch of the young activists you see out there, the revolution that was out over the last couple of years. That was us 10, 15 years ago. But we didn't have the outlet. So we were very effective here in Arizona. So we already had the methods down. We knew it was a decentralized, nobody's in charge. Everybody, you know, pools their talents to have some fun. And we each got different things. Like, you know, I can, like, talk on the radio. You know, we got Jed in there, you know, doing the board, you know, and he'll have his own show here pretty soon. And, you know, we'll have that on the site, and that'll be, I mean, dang, you're going to take the leash off. You know, that'll be fun. Then we got Drew Phillips in there. He does the video. Man, you're a politician, and he's anywhere around, one way or another, you're YouTubed. 4409. Ooh, shouting out of here. No, we'll have lots of fun. You are not safe from us. Why? Because we learned early on is that if we only had video, man, if we could get, and what did you have to do? You have to go to public access, learn how to do the equipment so you could check it out for a day to go and do one. Now you have cameras that you is your phone that's as good a quality as that, you know, and you instantly push a button and it goes to your Facebook account. We are totally in. We are armed. We are ready, armed with the capacity to share information. And when it got to the point in just a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, when young people under 20 were spending more time on the internet and interacting with each other peer-to-peer than they were in front of the television, I knew it was over for the bad guys. Because if they're not in between your ears, if they're not in your head, if they're not programming you, that's why they call it television programming, if they're not programming you what is and is not acceptable or not or standard whatever, then they're not in control. Because they look at you and they say, you're either in control or you are out of control. And to them, out of control is bad. Lord knows what you'll do. You'll go be free or something. You know, you'll go do what you want to do. Well, what if it's not what they want to do? And my thing is, you know, do I care? Why am I supposed to care what they want? So a lot of times people, we got to go get them and take over the legislative positions. We got to go, you know, storm to this and write to that. You know, there's a lot of use for that. We have fun with that. But that's not my end result, is to get somebody to do what I want them to do. I just want them to leave me alone. Just want to break free. So I am just appealing to you to start trying to, you know, change the way you're thinking. You know, just open yourself up to start. You'll start to feel better and you'll see everything differently. You'll start to understand that it's a lot easier just to be free. FreedomsPhoenix.com, declare your independence. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here from Phoenix, Arizona. FreedomsPhoenix.com is our home and should be yours. You go to freedomsphoenix.com and you sign up for the newsletter. Just pay attention. You know what's going on. We got a wide perspective of stuff up there. Yeah, some people contributing from the left and the right and so on, but this whole thing is edited by libertarians. They're just making sure, you know, you get all the perspectives, but we get to have our say. And with the graphics, we get 1,000 words on everything. So, we definitely get to have a say. And you should have a say. There's an opportunity for you to share. Go ahead, but you're going to be open to everybody. You know, there's people going to be able to have comments. So you do letters to the editor. You could be a reporter. If you become a writer, it'll go straight to the page. You can even have your own special edition. It'll be your page. You can have your own graphics. There's so much there. We have created a tool for you to be your own sovereign, for you to express yourself, for you to have an impact, for you to free as many minds as you can. That's what this is all about. Because, you know, a lot of people, they think, well, if I was in charge, I would be a good guy. You know, if I had the ring of power.
Take it.
No, sir, no.
You must take it.
You cannot offer me this ring.
I'm giving it to you.
Don't tempt me, Frodo. I dare not take it. Not even to keep it safe. Understand, Frodo. I would use this ring from a desire to do good. But through me, it would wield a power too great and terrible to imagine.
But it cannot stay in the Shire.
No. No, it can't.
What must I do?
What must we do? Think about it. You know, in Lord of the Rings, you had like 8-9 hours of movies that was summed up into that one clip right there from the first one. That one clip. You know, the ring of power. We got this ring of power. You know, let's give it to the good guys. No. I know better. You know, it can't stay in the Shire. know, what's a Shire? United States of America. You know, your home, your life. It can't stay in your life. You know, so what do you want to do? The hobbits, they didn't want to control the ring of power. They were the libertarians in the story. They wanted to just not be ruled. You know, they were the ones entrusted to go and take it and chuck it in the fires of Mordor. You know, and Gladiator, you know, he goes in and he goes and takes on the emperor and they get in a fight and a battle and he's going to bring in his army and get him and then we're going to trust you to leave. And he goes, yeah, no, I'm going to turn it over to you. I just want to, you know, do away with the power. Bring it back to the people. You know, these are why these guys are heroes. This is why these books are classics. This is what you have been supporting with your money, going to the movies, making sure that you express yourself, even if it's on a subconscious level, that it's the individual against the collective. Quit begging for collectives. You want to have we need a leader. We got to have somebody to fill the void to go lead us in once more into the what? Into being ruled again? Stop. You guys are killing me. You know, this is the mindset that I want to make sure. And I tell you, and they always distract you. They always come in, and they're gonna get you. You know, let's see. We got time for this one clip. 7:10. Yeah, let's go ahead and do this one clip. This is from Wag the Dog. Now, Wag the Dog, you know, came in the late 90s. You know, and this is how it works. I mean, this is how it is. Go ahead and hit the clip.
They're going to run this man through the shredder. We can hold a break in the dam for 11 days till the election. I think we got a chance.
Yeah, but you can't hold the dam. I mean, how the hell? I don't get what you want me to do.
What do you think would hold it off, Mr. Moss?
Nothing, 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 nothing. I mean, you'd have to have a war. You're kidding. You're not kidding. I'm in show business, yes? Why come to me?
Well, I'll tell you why, Mr. Moss. 54-40 a fight. What does that mean?
It's a slogan. It's from the...
Remember the Maine.
Yeah, that's from... That's got to be from...
Tip a canoe and paddle to it.
No, that's not the...
Well, they're war slogans, Mr. Morse. Uh-huh. We remember the slogans, we can't even remember the wars. You know why?
Why?
That's show business. Uh-huh. That's why we're here.
I see.
Naked girl, covered in napalm. V for victory. Five Marines raising the flag. Mount Suribachi.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the picture 50 years from now, you'll have forgotten the war.
True.
The Gulf War, smart bomb falling down a chimney, 2,500 missions a day, 100 days. One video of one bomb, Mr. Moss. The American people bought that war.
Mm-hmm.
War is show business. That's why we're here.
And what do you do for the president? Why Albania?
Why not?
They got to know at some point.
Who?
Who? The public.
They gotta know.
Yes.
Stan, get with it. Who killed Kennedy?
I read the first draft of the Warren Report. It says he was killed by a drunk driver.
You watch the Gulf War. What do you see day after day? The one smart bomb falling down a chimney.
Oh.
The truth?
I was in the building when we shot that shot. We shot it in a studio, Falls Church, Virginia, 1/10 scale model of a building.
Is that true?
How the f*** do we know? You take my point?
Yes. All right. Okay. And you want me to do what?
We want you to produce.
You want me to produce your war?
Not a war. It's a pageant. We need a theme, a song, some visuals. We need, you know, it's a pageant.
It's a pageant.
It's a pageant. That's what it is.
Country's a war.
It's Mr. American, your bird parks.
Why Albania?
Because.
Well, they have to have something we want.
Well, I'm sure they do.
What do we have that they want?
A little freedom.
Well, why would they want that?
The press?
No. Fuck freedom. They want to destroy the godless Satan of the United. They want to
destroy the whatever they say that it is that they want to destroy. You know, think about it. You know, we are being manipulated. We'll talk about it some more. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. 313-9443.
Yeah, we're back here. Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. FreedomsPhoenix.com. You'll find a lot of the goodies you need to know. And I want your participation. Come on, man. You know you guys want to do it. You can write articles in there. You can submit letters to the editor. You can put links. You know, be a reporter. You send that out. Now, this is one thing we wanted to do. We used some movies, you know, today to kind of, you know, develop our common language here. And one of the movies that was very interesting, it didn't get a lot of play. A lot of people didn't see it. But we just had Robert McNamara just checked out. And, you know, some people tried to I tried to make him out a good guy. That was kind of difficult. But, you know, he was one of the whiz kids. You know, went to Washington. We brainiacs, and we're so smart. We're gonna be able to win wars because we got numbers. And during World War II, they made plans of how many bombs we got to drop over how dense an area to produce the up. I mean, it was all math. Well, then they started thinking in terms of math, and they never put in the human aspect of this. It never occurred to them that, you know, like in Vietnam, I don't care how many bombs you got. We're never going to stop this concept of, you know, might is right, and we're just going to bomb you into submission is just how they're thinking. This is the concept that they had. And they did this movie called The Fog of War. And I saw it at the theater. And it was in, you know, one theater they play, you know, for a few weeks, and then you get the DVD. And I thought it was fascinating to get a look into the mind of this, I don't know what you want to call him, but man, the boy was malleable. And, you know, he just, what does the president want? Well, LBJ wanted to justify this war and win, do and prosecute. Okay, let me click some numbers together and let's go do it. But they lacked the perspective. And that's something I want to talk about here in a little bit. The perspective of the bad guys. You know, can they even understand why they're going to lose? Do they understand why? They don't. They don't understand what they're dealing with. They can't comprehend it. You know, listen to this clip, and we'll talk about it a little bit.
There aren't many examples in which you bring two former enemies together at the highest levels and discuss what might have been. I formed the hypothesis that each of us could have achieved our objectives without the terrible loss of life. And I wanted to test that by going to Vietnam. The former foreign minister of Vietnam, a wonderful man named Thua, said, "You're totally wrong. We were fighting for our independence. You were fighting to enslave us." We almost came to blows. That was noon on the first day. Do you mean to say it was not a tragedy for you when you lost 3,400,000 Vietnamese killed, which on our population base is the equivalent of 27 million Americans? What did you accomplish? You didn't get any more than we were willing to give you at the beginning of the war. You could have had the whole damn thing, independence, unification. Mr. McNamara, you must never have read a history book. If you'd had, you'd know we weren't pawns of the Chinese or the Russians. McNamara, didn't you know that? Don't you understand that we have been fighting the Chinese for 1,000 years? We were fighting for our independence, and we would fight to the last man, and we were determined to do so. And no amount of bombing, no amount of U.S. pressure would ever have stopped us.
Would have ever have stopped us. You know, you have these you call them third world countries, and I don't even know where you get the first and second. I don't even know who those are and how you get from first to third. You know, where did that even come from? You know, somebody explain that to me someday. But, you know, you have these small countries that we go in and we just lay waste to. There were more bombs dropped on North Vietnam than it was multiple times what was done during all World War II. And you go, wow, wow. Are we going to try that again? You know, we're going to shock and awe the planet and we got to pay for it? Oh, and go occupy it? Please, can we try something else? Now, if we just, you know, the foreign policy of non-intervention, you know, people where they spend money, we would have had Cuba already, heck, another state by now. You know, this is just a way of thinking. We keep trying to have this collective plan for it, some central plan for freedom. Where is that? Somebody got a central plan for freedom? You know, is that even possible? Well, one thing that was going on at the time while McNamara was in the White House, and this is when he's with before JFK's assassination, you know, he was involved there during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And you always think that we got perfect knowledge. Yeah, how's that been working out for us with the CIA? You know, and I'm so you have all kinds of things you just don't know about. And how are you willing to make a decision for an entire country? Just the fact that you even have the capacity to make a decision for hundreds of millions of people, and because you claim that you know what's really going on, well, maybe you don't.
I want to say, and this is very important, at the end, we lucked out. It was luck that prevented nuclear war. We came that close. The major lesson of the Cuban Missile Crisis is this. The indefinite combination of human fallibility and nuclear weapons will destroy nations. Is it right and proper that today there are 7,500 strategic offensive nuclear warheads, of which 2,500 are on 15-minute alert to be launched by the decision of one human being? It wasn't until January 1992, in a meeting chaired by Castro in Havana, Cuba, that I learned 162 nuclear warheads, including 90 tactical warheads, were on the island at the time of this critical moment of the crisis. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And Castro got very angry with me because I said, "Mr. President, let's stop this meeting. This is totally new to me. I'm not sure I got the translation right. Mr. President, I have three questions to you. Number one, did you know the nuclear warheads were there? Number two, if you did, would you have recommended to Khrushchev, in the face of a U.S. attack, that he use them? Number three, if he had used them, what would have happened to Cuba?" He said, "Number one, I knew they were there. Number two, I would not have recommended to Khrushchev. I did recommend to Khrushchev that they be used. Number three, what would have happened to Cuba? It would have been totally destroyed." That's how close we were.
And he was willing to accept that?
Yes. Oh, and he went on to say, "Mr. McNamara, if you and President Kennedy had been in a similar situation, that's what you would have done." I said, "Mr. President, I hope to God we would not have done it. Pull the temple down on our heads, my God."
What would we have done? Now, we may have a different perspective. Now, when you got guys strapping on dynamite, you know, going in the crowds and igniting themselves, what's their motivation? You know, do you really think it's 72 virgins? Is that what it is? You know, and there was a book written about this. Ron Paul referred to it, and it doesn't come to me off the top of my head, but it was on the suicide bombings. And they were saying, what was the commonality of this? You know, I think it was where the most of them were. They're not even Muslim. It was Indonesia, I think, or Lampur or something. But the point was that they were making is that these suicide bombs come from occupation. It's not to go get the infidel because they don't believe the way that I do or something. It's because they're here. And they have such desperation that they're willing to just for a sense of justice. Because that's what it always comes down to, is a sense of justice. We have a concept that we have to balance it out. You know, this has to be balanced. You know, there's good, there's bad. It gets a little too high on one end. Something has to be, and it's a sense of justice that each of us individuals have. And I remember there was another movie, Executive Orders, and it was Kurt Russell was in it, and Steven Seagal. And there was a scene in there where the gentleman that was the bad guy going to blow up an airline and such, and his motivations were the New Jersey and Lebanon during the Reagan administration. They're living up on the hills, and for whatever reason, they brought the battleships out of mothballs and are lobbing these Volkswagen-sized shells into the hillside and killing entire families. Well, you know, what'd you think was going to happen? You know, what would you do? At what point would you snap and you're just, you know, you're so enraged, it's hardwired into humanity that we're willing to go blazing through a curtain of lead coming at us at 2,600 feet per second to be able to get some justice? You know, and that is, a lot of people, they say it's rage or it's, and I think it's a sense of justice. You get to a certain point that, you know, you can't live with yourself without meting out some justice. That's where we're going to get. It's going to get bad. Can we avoid that? Can we come to some kind of other method? I suggest that we use love. Seriously. You think it's that complicated? You know, love thy neighbor. Love thy enemy. Love them. I don't know how much you got to tolerate them, but, you know, you need to, you know, show in some love. And love is not an emotion or feeling in this context. It's an action. You know, it's a verb. Love them. Show them. We have so many times that we'll stand up for our rights. You know, heck, here at Freedom's Phoenix, you know, these young activists and everything, if you haven't got arrested, you don't have your stripe on your sleeve, and you weren't doing it right, you know. At least somebody, yeah, Drew's in there. Not me. Yeah, he's videotaping it. I'll be the videotape guy. And we had, you know, a case, 4409, Shelton, he got arrested for videotaping a camera front protest. You know, they didn't arrest the protesters or the guys even blocking the cameras. He had anything to do with that. He was videotaping it. They went after him. And the reason was is because he's from the press. He's there, you know, whatever credentials you need. I got a video camera and put it up in Freedom's Phoenix, and I need a permission slip from the government to do what? So he's there, standing there on a public sidewalk videotaping this. Officers come. They want ID from everybody. Yeah, show us your ID. Well, each state's different, but generally, you know, it's pretty much the same. And certainly here in Arizona, it's very clear what it says. If there is a crime or they suspect a crime is going to be committed, then you have to ID yourself to an officer. You know, show them the ID. Other than that, you know, there's none of this papers, please stuff. I think you have to give them your name and birthday, or if even that. But they wanted ID, man. Show me your ID. And he's got the video camera on. Like, I'm just here. I'm on a public sidewalk videotaping a protest. Nope, got an ID. No, I don't. They arrested him. And it went to court. We go through all the courts. It was dismissed. But the officer got on the stage. He didn't even know. He goes, and Mark Victor was the attorney, my partner in Freedom Summit, and he was a criminal defense attorney here. And he had him on the stand. He asked, and he goes, so tell me, how is it that you go and ask everybody for their ID when you go out on a call? Oh, yeah, I like to create a baseline of everyone that's in the, you know, everybody give me your IDs. And it didn't even bother him. One, he didn't even know it was against the law to do that. The other thing is that, you know, a baseline, I need to know everybody's, you know, papers, please. They're not trained. This is how they are. The tip of the spear is going to be a law enforcement guy in your face saying, yeah, you do, and here's my gun to remind you. Really? Where do you draw the line? What do you do? So then we have checkpoints here in Arizona. We have Pastor Anderson from Tempe that we started working with and getting him a lot of attention. And Mark's his attorney also. He's the one that got tasered and beat up at the checkpoint. And whatever your opinion is on that, back and forth, he should have just complied. It wouldn't have been a big deal. And all that. He travels between New Mexico and California constantly for his business. He has a fire suppression system business that he does, in addition to being a pastor. He's a minister here in Tempe. So he's going back and forth, and he just finally is like, wow, man, this is just getting bad. You know, I feel very uncomfortable about this. And what was interesting is he has, I think it's five little children. They're all under like six. You know, there's a bunch of beautiful little blonde, cute little children, and a wife from Hungary and Germany, East Germany, Czechoslovakia area. You know, she has family out there and so on. They've seen this. They lived it. They know what this is. We know what the next step to this is. He's very sensitive to this. He's going, I know where this goes. So he says, nope, the law is, you don't have reasonable suspicion. I'm not playing. It goes on for over a half hour or so. You go in. Pastor Anderson, you look that up, you know, Steven Anderson, and you'll see the videos of what happened. Now the case gone, he was videotaping it as they took him out and beat the snot out of him. So what they didn't know is that he also speaks Spanish. So all the guards at the time were Hispanic, and they're talking Spanish to him at a border checkpoint. Oh, that, by the way, is 50, 60 miles north of the border. So, you know, where does this stop? And who resists? Who goes up against them? And in defense of what? You'll go through all this effort. We want to be left alone. We want to be autonomous. And to what? Be ruled by who you want to be ruled by. And if you don't want to be ruled by that guy, well, I guess it's tough for you. It's tough noogies. It's my turn to get ruled by who I want to be ruled by. Seriously? You know, can do I get to be not part of your we? As they're laying waste to other countries and taking my money and want to certainly take members of my family to go do it? You know, we got this Obama youth program coming up and stuff. I remember I was very concerned when I saw it on Google. You do a Google search, and it has volunteer, help your community. Right under the big main Google search thing, you click on it. It was Michelle Obama going on about how they need people to join their little collective. Yeah, which is fine. In a community, it would happen naturally if you just leave people alone. Oh, my goodness, leave them some of their own money. Can we do that? It's mindset. And I want to try and share this with you guys. I want to make sure that those listening to this, you start to understand that there is Generation Next out here. You know, what's patriotism? Heck, you know, Nazi Germany was patriotic. This nationalist, you know, worship of the state. The thinking is your team, it's your state, it's like it's a football team or something. You know, the worship of a collective as opposed to the principles it's supposed to be protecting. It's not. They're the bad guys. And why are they the bad guys? Because the ring always corrupts. Ultimate power always ultimately corrupts. Absolute. Power corrupts, absolutely. Every single time. It's not sometimes. It's all the time. Well, we'll talk about more. We'll be back. Final segment here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock from Freedoms Phoenix, Arizona here. FreedomsPhoenix.com. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
FreedomsPhoenix.com. Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You know, it's been great sharing. This is our second full day, and we want to just, you know, tweak out all the bugs and everything and interface between us and network and make sure everybody's getting their jobs down. And it's gone pretty smooth. It hasn't been too bad. But I wanted to make sure we got this introduction because what happens when we bring the boys over? What happens if you go on FreedomsPhoenix.com? We haven't even announced that we've done the radio show yet. We haven't put up the archives the last couple of days. We haven't announced on the banner ads, all the promotion, everything. Got to make sure we get everything all set because once they flood over, you know, I wanted to make sure that you understood just kind of the mindset of these young people. We go, all right, you know, Ernest Hancock's over on RBN Network. Let's go. And here they'll come. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to be able to just understand their perspective. And as time goes on, I think you'll probably share it. Because the bad guys are out there. They know. You know, heck, they have to change the, you know, if they got FBI tuning into me on my phone and everything else, they have to change them out every couple of weeks because they get changed. They become allies. They're like, yeah, what he said. So, you know, I'm just, you know, I know you're out there, you know, and we just want to be friends.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
FreedomsPhoenix.com, Ernest Hancock, and Declare Your Independence. We'll see you tomorrow, and make sure that we have another opportunity to get to know each other a little bit. We may start bringing the people over and start sharing all of us together. But I'm telling you, we want to welcome you into this. We're gonna change the debate here. It's going to be about something else. You know, so it might entertain you, it might educate you, it might make you part of, the movement, because, you know, the revolution's already underway. Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 11 to 1.